Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in company's profile. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Everyone, welcome in to the weekend edition of the KE Report. Corey Fleck here along with Shad Marquitz. We are your hosts for this weekend edition. Also your hosts on our website and podcast throughout the week. Trying to keep everybody as up to date as we can on macro events for the markets, but then even more so driving down into market moves and company updates. Still a lot of news coming out broadly. The problem seems to be is that every sector seems to be under a bit of pressure here. We are kicking off the show, first two segments, with our good friend Jesse Felder, founder and editor of the Felder Report. Jesse, we have to start with the Fed, whether you like it or not. We had a Fed meeting this week, and we actually saw volatility before the Fed meeting, and then even more volatility after the Fed meeting. To sum it up, the Fed hiked rates by 50 basis points, what they have been guiding for. One of the noteworthy comments from Jerome Powell is that he said that the committee really wasn't even discussing 75 basis point hikes. That's something that the market was more forcing on the Fed. Let's start there with the general Fed statement and Powell's press conference. What was your takeaway, Jesse?
Well, my takeaway was Powell just blinked, right? Powell likes to say that he's up to the task of being Paul Volcker if necessary. And he's clearly not. I mean, right now, inflation is running so high and the Fed is so far behind the curve that what he should be saying is we're going to do whatever it takes to rein in inflation, period. We are going to raise interest rates. If it causes a recession, so be it. If it causes the stock market to crash, so be it. We have to rein in inflation. And he didn't do that. By taking 75 basis points off the table, that is basically, you know, saying the opposite of whatever it takes. No, we're only willing to raise at a rate that, you know, will not crash the stock market, will not hurt the economy. So I think that the market, Powell blinked, and I think that's what the markets are trying to suss out. I think probably what that means, and the bond market is really telling that story, right? I think bond investors, by selling bonds off so hard in the last few days in the wake of the Fed meeting, that's bond investors saying, wait, if you're not fully dedicated to reining in inflation, how can we buy bonds at a 3% yield? It makes no sense.
Well, Jesse, that's a great point, because with inflation at around 8.5% on the last CPI reading, even if the Fed was to hike not just 75 basis points, but let's say 100 basis points four or five times, we'd still have negative real rates for inflation-adjusted rates. So I guess if you're in the bond market, you think, why would I want to hold on to something that's guaranteed to lose money? And so we've seen interest rates really spike up even higher on a percentage basis. What do you think the higher interest rates or the rising rates are going to do to other markets like real estate or to the general equities?
Well, I think, you know, what the bond market is upset with, I mean, let's try and quantify this, right? The Fed funds rate is still below 1%, right? We're still not even at 100 basis points. At a time when the Taylor rule says the Fed should be over 1,000 basis points, we should have a 10% Fed funds rate today with where the economy is, with where inflation is, and all of these things. So the Fed has never been so far behind the curve. So it makes absolute perfect sense that bond investors would be paying very close attention to how dedicated the Fed is into, you know, in protecting the stable prices side of the mandate. And if Jay Powell says, we will do whatever it takes, great. Okay, maybe I can buy bonds at 3. But if they're not, then you can't buy bonds, right? Because if inflation is going to remain elevated because the Fed is dedicated to remaining behind the curve, which is the message I took from the latest Fed meeting and the message they've given for months and quarters now, then you have to stay away from bonds because inflation is going to remain elevated. And really what Jay Powell's dealing with is an incredibly difficult situation, right? We're already seeing tons of signs that we're headed for recession. the oil price up 50% year over year. Every time that happens, we go into recession. Yield curve, I mean, I think we talked about all this stuff the last time I was on. Look at the relative performance of retail stocks, relative performance of small caps. Everything is pointing to recession. CNBC ran a poll this week. 80% of small businesses expect recession before the end of this year. 80%. And so because the Fed waited so long to tighten, now they're going to be forced to tighten into a recession, into a downturn. And I just don't think Jay Powell's up to the task. I think already we're seeing slowing in the housing market because mortgage rates have ripped higher over 5% from, you know, below 3 not too long ago. So, you know, home builders, another stock that's shown significant relative underperformance leading to the downside of the stock market. All signs, you know, red flags for recession. And so, I mean, you can't blame, Jay for saying, you know, I can't now tighten. I can't normalize policy. If they were to go to 3% on the Fed funds or 3.5, like some have been talking about, and, you know, roll off $2 to $3 trillion on the balance sheet, it would crash the markets, would crash the economy. He knows this, which is why he backed off, at the meeting from saying those things, because he knows he can't afford to do that.
Yeah, the fact of the matter is the markets and the economy are addicted to all this free money because they've had it for so long, and that's what helps support markets and economies when you just keep bumping that money out. We're in a different environment right now. One more question regarding interest rates, though. Even though 3% is way behind the curve, it is generally higher than the rest of the world. And the way that a lot of big money managers are set up is that they need to have some money in sovereign bonds. It does make the U.S. look more attractive, though, doesn't it? Even though it's lagging behind general inflation.
Well, absolutely. And this is why the dollar's been so strong is one, you know, we've had some of the higher interest rates. I mean, you look at Japan and Europe and you go, I can't, you know, I mean, it's silly. So U.S. nominal rates look much more attractive than those other areas around the world. And the other side of that is the Fed has outlined through forward guidance a very hawkish path, right? I mean, they are talking about going to, you know, 2.5-3% on Fed funds in a very short period of time. They've talked about, rolling $2-3 trillion off the balance sheet. And so relative to other central banks, I mean, relative to the Bank of Japan, it's a joke. The Fed is off the charts, a hawkish. And relative to the ECB, they're relatively hawkish. And so if you were to say who's protecting the purchasing power of the currency better, you'd have to say it's the Fed right now, at least in talk, at least in terms of forward guidance. Now, at some point, and I think, you know, we're very rapidly approaching this point, the Fed is going to be, you know, tasked with, okay, follow through on that guidance. And risk crashing the stock market, risk, you know, exacerbating a very deep recession. And, you know, Jay Powell's going to either have to say, yes, I'm Paul Volcker and I'm going to do this, or no, we can't afford to normalize policy. And at that point, I think gold is already kind of sniffing out that Powell blinked at this meeting. And that's why, you know, the gold price has kind of bottomed and rebounded over the last few days. But if he officially pivots, I think before he does, the dollar and the gold price will already have sniffed that out and have, you know, the dollar rolled over and the gold price broken out to new highs.
It has been interesting to see the reaction post-Fed meeting, and the dollar is hanging up there, still a little under 1900, but historically that is a good price for gold. Again, the issue being it just doesn't seem like there's a whole lot of investor interest into the precious metals, even though they are higher. We're just still not seeing that huge volume that you would expect to come into a market that has, I guess, come close to breaking out. Maybe that's the problem, is that it still hasn't broken above that 2100 level, let's say, and then really started to take off. But we're going to keep chatting here, Jesse. We're having you back on next segment, and we'll talk about some more of the market reaction post-Fed meeting and dive a little bit more into the precious metals. So everybody, stick around. We are going to be right back with Jesse Felder.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body, Brain, and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. It's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
Americans have the most colorful language in the world. And that vibrant language is our basis for thinking in big ways, new ways, efficient ways, and better ways. Americans have freedom of speech. The pairing of our colorful language and freedom of speech has made us the people and the nation that we are today. Imagine what it would be like not having the freedom to speak our minds, communicate our thoughts and ideas, and hear those from others. Americans have a passion for and yearn for the truth. There are those who want to destroy our freedom and right to hear the truth. The truth is under attack. GCN is under attack. I'm asking our fellow broadcasters and you to rise up and help us defend our right to free speech. Would you like to join us? Please consider visiting SaveGCN.com. Please help us bring you the truth 24 hours per day. I'm Vincent Finelli.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report, and we are continuing to chat with Jesse Felder, founder and editor of the Felder Report.
Jesse, quick comment on commodities, because commodities, they've had a good last, let's say, 12 months, but broadly, all of the commodities that have broken out have pulled back. Copper, that was close to $5, now about $4.25. Still very nice price levels for commodities, but I keep on hearing the argument that commodities are undervalued to financial assets. Financial assets are really trending lower. What's your take on commodity valuation compared to financial assets, as commodities still seem broadly undervalued?
Well, I mean, it goes back to the capital cycle. When commodity prices are high, it's just the remedy for high prices is high prices, and vice versa, right? When you get high prices, the greed that it stimulates among producers is unstoppable. They go produce as much as they possibly can. Market gets oversupplied, and that takes years to work that out. And vice versa, on the other side, we've had a commodity price crash, right? Oil prices went negative. We had all commodities in the toilet for a number of years. The gold price crashed from 2011 to 2015. And that instills a lot of discipline, right? I mean, nobody wants to invest in expanding supplies when prices are in the dumps. And so that takes years to work itself out too. And we're still seeing, I mean, look at like energy, right? Oil prices are still really high. And, you know, some people are saying it's discipline that's holding back the oil and gas producers. It might just be that, a lot of the shale plays aren't as prolific, in terms of being able to produce as a lot of people have assumed. You know, you look at like drilled and uncompleted wells and those types of things, and those numbers are in free fall. So we might need much higher commodities prices and sustained for a long period of time to really kind of create that type of supply response you normally see that helps put in a peak for commodities. I think really the only thing to realize right now is we're nowhere close to that time.
Yes, I think that's a solid point, because there's been chronic underinvestment in the oil and gas space for over a decade, as banks were told not to invest in them, as ESG companies said, let's stay out of that. They killed coal. They didn't want to touch uranium. And we've seen all those energy sources now spiking. So now people are finally investing in projects, but it does take time to get them back online. Same thing with the base metals. But one of the metals I think we should talk about is gold. You'd mentioned it briefly earlier, but the precious metals are a little bit different category of commodity, because they really are monetary metals. They're really money itself, and so they tend to react as a safe haven. Gold has done well overall, all things considered, but it has pulled back quite a bit. And you mentioned you thought it may just start bouncing recently after this Fed kind of blinking. What do you think, I guess, in the medium term, the picture is for gold, and what will get more interest into the sector to maybe push it out and break it out to new highs?
Well, I was just asking, I literally just got off recording a podcast myself with my friend Fred Hickey, who's one of the, he writes the high-tech strategist, but he's easily as brilliant when it comes to investing in precious metals as with high-tech stocks. And so, we were just talking about this, and he makes a great point that, the biggest buyers of precious metals, physical, are, Indians and Chinese. Chinese are in lockdown. And the Indians, really follow a seasonal pattern, and so that's why gold prices kind of follow a seasonal pattern. And it goes, we're in the weak period for seasonal strength right now, and it doesn't improve until late summer, August, something like that sometime. And, so that's one factor. I think the biggest factor, though, in my opinion, to be honest, I look at the gold strength. Look at the gold price over the last 6-9 months. It's up. At the same time, the dollar has been ripping higher. I mean, gone essentially parabolic, the dollar has in the last, couple of months. And what's driving the dollar? It's those higher interest rates here in the U.S., which are actually now becoming less attractive because the cost of hedging against currency exposure is becoming so expensive, especially for Japanese. So, that's being limited some. But it's also just, like I mentioned, Fed policy, right? The dollar strength comes back to the Fed outlining the most hawkish tightening path that we've seen since Paul Volcker. Essentially, the dollar is pricing in that we have Paul Volcker at the helm again today. And I think when the markets come around to the idea that Jay Powell is no Paul Volcker, the dollar's going to reverse, and the gold, that hawkish rhetoric, rising interest rates, all of these things that have been holding the gold price back are going to lift and they're going to go away. I think we're probably close to a top in yields as well because of a lot of this. And so if that's the case, then, you know, gold could be, and technically it looks like this too, that we've had a breakout out of its, you know, consolidating phase, that kind of pennant pattern. You know, we broke out to new highs and now the price has fallen back to test that breakout. It's just a classic breakout, test, and go. And now I think we're just looking at that go phase for gold, which will be, you know, I think a very strong up phase for the gold price over the next, you know, few years.
It really has been encouraging to see gold really set up a higher trading range right now, a historically higher trading range. The problem being the stocks are really struggling, though, especially the juniors and the mid-tiers. We saw some pretty significant production and cost misses just this week from earnings from some of the mid-tiers. And Newmont, the largest miner, it was at all-time highs, but has pulled back from there. Why are the stocks so weak then, Jesse, if gold is looking so good?
Well, I think there's two reasons. One is, you know, margin compression, right? We've seen the gold price correct for 2 years now, something like that. So top line has been, you know, not as strong because the gold price has not been not as strong. And at the same time, you know, expenses have been rising along with everybody else. I mean, you know, diesel costs, employment costs, all of these things are rising. And so margins have been come under pressure. And I think that just goes through phases, right? I mean, we could see a time ahead when margins, you know, rapidly expand, and that's just would come through top line growth and then, you know, resolving of some of these kind of margin pressures. But I think really the main thing with the gold stocks, the problem that they have is I think investors are doubting that gold is still in a bull market because the stocks are incredibly cheap. You know, you look at my favorite right now is Agnico Eagle, and it's trading at probably about a 50% discount to its historical valuation. And the only way a stock should trade that cheap is if you're at the top of a cycle, right? If you think about cyclical companies, their earnings look great at the top and look terrible at the bottom.
All right, Jesse, we're wrapping it up here. A lot of recession talk continues, and rightfully so, as we are seeing markets continue to break down, and it's dragging a lot of other asset classes down with it, and now we're also seeing weaker economic data. So not a pretty picture this year for markets or the economy. We'll see if the Fed switches course sooner rather than later. We'll see if we get a little reprieve from all this bad data, but right now, it's been a tough start to the year. Jesse, thank you, as always, for your time. It's great having you on the show. I hope you have a great rest of your weekend, and we'll chat again next month.
Thanks, guys. Talk soon.
To find out more about today's guest, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Cortland Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg. Fire crews continue to battle a slew of wildfires across the country. New Mexico is dealing with 6 large wildfires. The biggest are the Calf Canyon and Hermit fires, which have combined into one and burned over 166,000 acres. The blaze is roughly 20% contained. Dry conditions expected to continue in the southwest. Brian Scutari is a meteorologist for the National Weather Service.
No relief in sight for the foreseeable future, with at least some chance for critical conditions continuing well past this weekend into the week.
Former President Donald Trump stumped Friday night in Pennsylvania, rallying for Republican Senate candidate Mehmet Oz and others. Pennsylvania's primary is about a week and a half away. You're listening to USA Radio News. The CDC is looking into over 100 cases of severe hepatitis in children reported across the United States. The CDC investigating the cases, which have caused 14% of the kids to have liver transplants. The cases have been found in 25 states and territories during the last 7 months.
Among 109 patients currently under investigation, more than half have evidence of an adenovirus infection. In addition, adenovirus has been detected in many, but not all, of the cases occurring outside of the United States.
CDC Deputy Director for Infectious Diseases, Jay Butler. Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene can run for re-election in Georgia's 14th congressional district. Late Friday, a state judge rejected arguments from a left-leaning out-of-state group that argued Greene, a Republican, was ineligible to run because they didn't like her political views. This is USA Radio News.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. I hope everybody enjoyed those first few segments with Jesse Felder, really covering big picture markets, big picture themes. In these segments, we are chatting with Jeff Christian, managing partner at the CPM Group. Also going to be chatting about the Fed and some big picture themes, but then also outlining what is in the CPM Group's Silver Yearbook, which is releasing next week. There is also an event May 10th at 10 a.m. where Jeff is hosting to go over the Silver Yearbook and talk about some of the big picture themes. Jeff, I want to start with the markets and even more importantly, the Fed. The Fed this week came out as expected with a 50 basis point rate hike. Powell pretty much said, look, they're not even talking about a 75 basis point hike, which it seems like the market got a little bit ahead of itself. On the back of that announcement, boy, oh boy, are we seeing some volatility. Jeff, what caught your eye about the Fed policy statement and what Powell had to say in his press conference?
I think that the major thing was, we were completely discounting the idea of a 75 basis point increase. And we were saying, given the low, the negative 1.4% real GDP figure for the first quarter that came out last Friday, and given the increased violence in the Ukraine-Russian war, we thought it might even be possible that they would be more cautious. So I think, our big takeaway is no, the Fed thinks that the economy is strong enough and that inflation is problematic enough to raise rates 50 basis points, even given that. You know, so that tells us that they think that they can sterilize the inflation that we're seeing in the market over the next, you know, several quarters, the next year or two, without throwing us into a recession, at least in the near future, or triggering a recession. You know, I think that that was the big takeaway. And then the follow-up was the very interesting view that the market seemed to have that same interpretation, where they said, okay, the Fed is raising interest rates 50 basis points, but they feel that the economy can handle it. So the economy is stronger than a lot of the doomsayers are saying that it is, and that we're probably not, you know, already, you know, one quarter into a recession. So I think that that was the big takeaway for me.
Well, Jeff, that's an interesting point to bring up, because we have heard the word recession showing up more and more in interviews we do, but also in articles that you read online and other people's interviews. It seems like with the slowdown in GDP last quarter, mixed with the high inflation and some market turbulence, I mean, the general markets have been a little weaker in the first quarter and moving into the second quarter, that we're hearing that a lot. But there is that confidence that we're seeing just in the recent past that maybe the Fed can stay the course. I mean, what do you think it would take for the Fed to trigger a recession? What would have to happen? Would inflation not have to come down enough, or would they get a couple more hikes in, maybe midsummer or maybe into the fall, and realize, uh-oh, maybe we've gone too far? What would it take to make the doomsayers correct, let's say?
Yeah, you know, it's funny, because I guess the working title I have right now is that hyperbole has killed more investors than Cecil B. DeMille. You know, if you look at it, there's a lot of yellow journalism abroad, and it's not just the doomsayers, it's also the mainstream press. So, you know, Deutsche Bank came out with a report a couple of weeks ago, and they said, look, we could have a recession starting in 2023. And all of the headlines were, Deutsche Bank sees the recession. And you had to, like, read into the fifth paragraph to say, oh, it might be 12 months from now before you see that one, you know. I do think that, you know, as you know, we've been talking about the probability of a recession sometime a couple years down the road, and we still think it's there. And it's not that the Fed would throw the country into a recession per se, but that economic activity would get to a point where the supply-demand balance is so tight that it could trigger much higher inflation, much higher interest rates, and ultimately a recession. And I think what the Fed is saying is that it's looking at the tightening, and there is a tremendous amount of supply constraints right now. And that's a problem, because that's something that the Fed can't really control. The Fed can raise interest rates. They can suck money out of the economy. All of that's pretty much on the demand side of the economy. But right now, what you're seeing is a combination of very strong demand across segments of the economy, coupled with supply constraints. And the real problem that the Fed is facing is, how do you deal with those supply constraints? Because that's nothing that, you know, supply is much less elastic to interest rate changes than is demand. So that's one of the big concerns. And what I think the Fed was saying was, yeah, supply constraints are a problem, but there is enough growth left on the demand side that we don't think that, you know, there'll be a recessionary condition right now. And if you look at what happened in the first quarter, you know, the reality is that consumer demand and some other aspects of business demand were still relatively strong. And what you really saw was a reduction in inventory holdings on the part of business. And that, in fact, that in turn reflected the supply constraints. And it also reflected the fact that the businesses are saying, hey, we're in a tough place here, and we have to be very prudent with our financial resources. So, you know, you put all that together and you say, okay, the Fed's probably thinking that there's more rope to let out in the economy before we hit into more serious constraints on the supply-demand balance that would trigger higher inflation, higher interest rates, and ultimately run a greater risk of a recession.
really sounds like an almost tightrope walk that the Fed is doing here, trying to control the demand side, but then not having control over the supply side, especially when you consider what's going on in China and really the rest of the world. A lot of supply restrictions and constraints out there. Jeff, what about the reaction in the markets? Because it was one thing that the Fed hasn't been trying to trick investors. They have been pretty upfront and giving a lot of heads up on when they're hiking rates and the process that they're going to be hiking rates. This whole 75 basis point rate hike was really generated by the market and market moves prior to that meeting. That being said, though, boy, oh boy, did we get some volatility on the back of the statement and press conference. Markets went up a lot Wednesday afternoon, and Thursday, as we're recording this, about halfway through the day, boy, oh boy, they've given up all of those gains, and we're seeing pretty much a bloodbath. We see the U.S. dollar up, which is up quite strongly, and yields. 10-year, it's over 3%. So we are seeing a run higher in yields and the U.S. dollar, but we are seeing crashing markets and really every sector being pulled down with it. So what's your takeaway from this market reaction?
First off, I do want to say the Fed's always walking a tightrope. And, you know, the Fed for like more than 20 years, probably close to 40 years, has been saying to the Congress in its Humphrey Hawkins talks and to the administration, we can only do so much with monetary policy. You have to get your fiscal house in order. And in fact, the government has gone the other way, and its fiscal house is in much worse shape now than it ever has been in history. You know, so the Fed's sort of like, you know, the surgeon who's got a patient who says, I take cocaine, I drink like a skunk, and I chain smoke cigarettes. Keep me well. You know, and you say, well, you know, I can give you some medicines and I can prescribe, you know, exercise, but you really need to stop smoking, stop drinking so much, and stop taking cocaine. And the federal government says, you know, hey, I'm not paying you to tell me how to live my life. I'm paying you to make me well. And that's sort of where the Fed is, you know, metaphorically.
I really like that metaphor, Jeff. And it does do a good job of summarizing kind of how stuck the Fed is when it comes to easy money policies continuing to support markets, economies, and even the underlying government. But, hey, we are out of time for this segment on the radio. We're having you back on next segment. We're going to continue talking about the fallout from the Fed announcement, but then also get into the silver market because, as I mentioned, the CPM Group is launching your silver yearbook next week. Everyone, stick around. We're going to be right back with Jeff Christian.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
I'm about to give you a life-changing URL that if you will simply visit it and give these tax consultants a call, it will change your life. Whether you're a blue-collar worker or whether you're a school teacher or whether you're a scientist or whether you're a millionaire, almost no one out there is taking advantage of legal, lawful tax loopholes. Go to GCNTaxCut.com. It takes you right to American Tax Solutions, and they will give you an amazing preview of what they can do for you. GCNTaxCut.com, GCNTaxCut.com.
According to the World Gold Council, while demand for gold is surging, 72% of people reply they lack the necessary know-how to do so. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta, owner of Advantage Gold, hands down the highest rated gold dealer in the country. The reason? We lead with education. We've taught millions of investors how to buy gold safely and securely, and our in-depth gold guide explains everything you need to know. From what type of metals to consider, if an IRA or cash transaction is best, and how you can be certain that the gold you're buying is authentic, certified, and real. Call 800-900-8000 now and get our number one rated first-time gold buyer's kit. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the information you need to secure your future. Call 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000 today.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
Did you know that you can easily be saving up to 90% on your taxes by simply making a phone call? That's right. The Fortune 500, the globalists, all the big billionaires and millionaires, they know about the loopholes written into the law where most of them pay almost zero tax. In fact, many of them pay no tax. You even see it on the news. How are they able to do that? But the common person can. So whether you're a school teacher, a lawyer, a scientist, a millionaire, a billionaire, or whether you're just a regular blue-collar worker, everybody should learn about the legal, lawful loopholes. And we've got an organization and a group that I am so proud to be working with, American Tax Solutions. GCN has a special deal with them to get you the best rates. And here's the most important part. They save you money and then get part of the savings. This is an absolute win-win solution. You've got to give them a call at 855-907-4841 or GCNTaxCut.com. That's GCNTaxCut.com. The only way you miss out is not making the phone call. Make it now.
Hey everyone, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report, and we are continuing to chat with Jeff Christian. This second segment, a bit more focused on market reactions as well as silver. This is a continuation of the much longer conversation that we have with Jeff Christian that is being posted on our website, kereport.com. We're picking it up where Shad is starting to ask Jeff about the balance between U.S. market weakness and precious metals weakness.
We have seen some weakness in the general markets, Jeff, and we hear the narrative in the precious metal space that for gold and ultimately maybe silver to get a bid, that we're going to have to see kind of a bifurcation where the markets start to roll over some and then the precious metals markets get a bid. I know there's differing opinions on that, but what is your thoughts on that? Do we need to see not a crash, but just a rollover in the general markets and more weakness for more generalist investors to maybe go into gold as more of a safe haven play? What's your thought on that?
I'm not quite sure. You know, first off, you know, statistically, it's not necessary to see the stock market fall for investors to turn back to gold and silver. That said, if the stock market did fall 20% or something like that, and you know, today it's off 2%, 2 or 3%. If the stock market did fall 20% or so, I think that might help stimulate some growth in investment demand for gold and silver, but it's not a prerequisite for it, you know, and quite frankly, you have periods of time where gold and silver investment demand and prices do very well while the stock market is high and rising. Because when the stock market is high and people are, as they are now, very nervous about, you know, a correction or a bear market, which might see a 20% decline, or if you listen to the gold bugs, you know, the end of civilization as we know it and an 80% decline in the stock market. When people have a lot of money in highly priced stock markets and they're worried about a decline, that oftentimes is a time when they're buying a lot of gold and silver. So you know, to say that you need to lower stock prices to stimulate investment demand for gold and silver is not actually accurate, because oftentimes what you see is when the stock market moves higher, investors buy more gold and silver because they want to have a certain portion of their portfolio in diversified assets like gold and silver. And as the value of their stock portfolio rises, they need to buy more gold and silver to maintain that portion of their portfolio that's in safe haven assets, if you will.
That is true. Using it as a store of value, right? When you make profits, rotate some of those profits into maybe something a bit safer. The problem is, as we look at the screen, as I said, man, everything is red today. The precious metals were up, but boy, oh boy, the stocks are selling off. Jeff, let's talk a little bit about silver, because as I mentioned, the Silver Yearbook launching next week, May 10th at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. You have your event to break down what you're seeing in the silver market, your forecast, and this yearbook launch. Can you give us a general overview of, first of all, where you see silver right now and what some of the big themes are around that metal?
I think the biggest thing that we're paying attention to with silver is investment demand, as always, you know. And we saw investment demand rise very sharply from, like, you know, 38 million ounces in 2019 to about 97 million ounces last year. And that has caused the silver price, you know, the average price to go from $16 to $25 last year. But right now, as we're talking, it's about $22.50. So we're basically, we think we're bullish on silver, in that we think that the price will move sideways to higher from here over the next, say, six quarters, but trading basically between $21 and, say, $28 over the next year and a half. And then with the potential to rise much more sharply. You know, we're actually looking, you know, based on the first 4 months of this year, we're looking at a slight decline in investment demand for silver. So slightly lower prices, possibly on an annual average basis this year compared to where we were last year. But the reality is that, you know, investors have rediscovered silver over the last 3 years. They are buying more silver. They probably will continue to buy silver because it is in a bull market and it seems to have a lot further to go than, say, the stock market.
Well, Jeff, it's interesting that you're focused on the investment demand, because as we've heard for decades, that, you know, the prices are set at the periphery, the prices are set at the margins, and that really comes from the investor demand. But we also hear a secondary narrative that, hey, it's a hybrid metal, it's really an industrial metal now, it's really more of a base metal. And so the narrative seems to shift from it's just a poor old industrial metal to no, it really will track gold, it really is money, and it really will be, you know, there really is investment demand. So how do you balance out the narrative with this hybrid metal of silver?
Well, unlike a lot of these guys, I've only been in the silver market since the 1970s. And I have always focused primarily on investment demand as the key factor determining silver prices. So it's really the investors who are the marginal buyers and sellers of silver, and they're really the guys who sort of set the pace, the timing, and the level of silver price changes. And so it's very important. Now, that said, you know, in gold, you've got maybe, 40 million ounces out of 100 million ounces of newly refined supply that comes into the gold market every year that goes into investment demand. Yeah, right now it's probably closer to 20 million ounces, but it's still, let's say, 20%. And silver is a much smaller thing. So you might have, you know, this year we expect silver's total supply from scrap as well as mine production to be just shy of a billion ounces, and we expect investment demand to be about 76 million ounces. So investment demand is about 7.5% of total supply in the silver market. So while it is the marginal demand that determines the price, you do have a much more important influence on the price set by fabrication demand. And, you know, in fabrication demand, it's been relatively flat. I mean, we actually saw about a 6% decline in 2000. It came back up about 2% last year, but it didn't get back to the levels that we saw prior to the pandemic and the lockdown. We think it's going to continue to expand this year, but at a relatively modest pace. So we don't see total fabrication demand getting back to 2018, 2019 levels this year. but it's moving in that direction. And one of the big drivers is solar panels, and solar panels are particularly important now because people are trying to get away from fossil fuels, and solar electricity is probably the most cost-competitive renewable that's around there right now. So you're going to continue to see strong demand for silver in solar panels. So we see fabrication demand strong. But again, you know, if it wasn't fabrication demand that drove the gold, the silver price from $16 in 2019 to $20 in 2020 and $25 last year, it was investment demand. So it's really that investment demand that that you have to pay attention to. Fabrication demand is good. It provides a very solid base for silver, but it's really the investment demand that drives this car.
So, Jeff, do you agree with the narrative that higher prices lead to higher prices, unlike fabrication demand, where if prices rise too much, we could actually see a slowdown in fabrication? Investment demand, are you on that boat that says higher prices are good to lead to more higher prices?
Up to a certain point. I mean, you know, you'll see investment demand for gold and silver. Investors are like the opposite of price elastic. You know, so they, when the price is falling, they tend not to buy as much. And when the price is rising, they chase the price higher. So as the price has risen, you've seen investment demand increase. And that will continue up to a certain point. But what we've seen over and over again, we saw it in the 1980s, we saw it after 2011, we've seen it in the last couple of years, is when the price of silver gets too high, A, you have any number of investors who are willing to take profits and sell their silver, and B, other investors say, I'm not going to buy at these prices. So there is a price elasticity, and we've seen the price of silver, you know, run up to $50 twice in 1980, and again in 2011, and both times the price of silver came down with a thud. You know, in 1980, the price of silver fell more than 50% in one day. And until 2020, when the oil price fell more than 50% in one day, I had never seen another commodity lose half of its value in one day.
All right, Jeff, we're out of time for this weekend show. Thank you for joining us for the last couple segments there and sharing your thoughts on where the Fed is, where the metals are going, and a little insights into silver. Everybody, thank you for tuning in this weekend. It's been great putting the show together, albeit in a pretty tough market. And I know we're all looking at stocks that continue to sell off, but that seems to be every sector. So something to consider. It's been a bad start to the year for U.S. equity markets. Also a tough start to the year for a number of other sectors. We'll all be back with you early next week. So please keep in touch with Shad and I. Fleck at KEReport.com and Shad at KEReport.com. We love hearing from each and every one of you, and we hope you all have a great rest of your weekend.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit KEReport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
Hi, I'm Al Averoa, founder of Knight Strategic Wealth. Inflation is picking up, markets are volatile, and the dream of a comfortable retirement is harder to attain than ever before. Nobody wants to run out of money in retirement. That's why I'm going to share something that your financial advisor doesn't want you to know. With our investment strategy, when the stock market goes up, you earn a market-linked return that locks in every year. And when the stock market goes down, your investments won't lose a dime. There are no unnecessary fees, and it works for your investments, money at a brokerage firm, or even money at a bank. It's simple, it's safe, and that's why savvy investors work with us. Want to learn more? Text FREE to 833-898-0500 and we'll send our retirement readiness kit directly to your phone right now. If you want to help build a retirement portfolio that will go up with the market and never lose money, get our retirement readiness kit today and see how this strategy can help secure your future. Text FREE to 833-898-0500. Text FREE to 833-898-0500.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
Hey, Jimmy, turn off the video games. Let's go play some ball.
I'm in the middle of my game. Can't we go later?
Come on, it'll be fun. It will be there when you get back.
Okay, but there's no way you're going to win.
Why don't you grab some water and granola bars, and then we'll see about that.
You can make a difference. Eat smart, play hard. And when you do, your kids will too. A challenge from USDA.